All right, we're in. And here I am today. I'm at in Copenhagen, actually, for the Convergence EMEA conference. And I bumped into a couple of colleagues, Morten and Michael, and they've been working on some interesting stuff around version control and Dynamics, specifically on Dynamics AX. And I convinced them that it would be a good idea to try and do a Channel 9 video. So I dragged them over to a table, and here we are. It's going to be a little noisy, but I think we're going to see some interesting stuff. Why don't we start with introductions? Michael, you want to start?
So I'm Michael Fogo from Topilan. I'm a developer on the Morphix feature team. I've been working on AX and Acceptor since the first releases.
Okay.
And with me I have
Morten Jensen, and I'm a program manager in the Morphix team as well. I've been working with AX since the first version as well, originally in the database area. Now we're here. Glad to meet you.
Oh, okay. Well, I think everyone knows who I am. So I know you guys have been working on some version control stuff around Dynamics. I mean, I know you guys work on a lot of different areas of the product, but one of the ones that caught my interest was version control, especially because for developers, that's sort of an important part of the product. So can you describe maybe a little bit? Who should start?
I would actually like to just put this in perspective.
Sure.
Because this is an area that both of us have been working hard, other teams as well, to get. And we've seen more than one actually implementation that never made it into the product.
Okay.
So for X4, this actually made it into the product and was really great. And we had the integration to Microsoft SourceSafe.
Uh-huh.
So what we did later on here for AX 2009 was to introduce another version control vendor, if you like, namely the Team Foundation Server.
Excellent.
For version control.
I've heard of that one.
That you have. And as well as something that we'll show a little later, which we call the Morphix VCS, which is a homebrew, which doesn't really have a back-end story, but it's based off of the business database that everyone knows.
Right.
Before going into the detail, I would also emphasize that from the beginning in AX4, this has been made for the ability actually to extend this to even more vendors for version control.
Uh-huh.
And we have only known of a few that have done it, and we have known of a few that have little difficulties because they have had this tie to the team server or ID server, as we call it, that is the one that gives out IDs.
Uh-huh.
So that is the thing that we fixed for this version for 2009 as well.
Okay.
So we hope that others can now plug in easily their own
versions. That sounds pretty cool. Michael, do you want to add to that? Or?
No, it's actually pretty much what we did. We even made the object model for the implementation even better. So now if you're using a file-based version control backend, it's even more simple to plug in because you don't have to generate the files yourself. You'll just be involved with file names. So
it should be pretty
simple to integrate with.
So do you want to show it to me? That's probably the best place. I know I try to get to the demos as soon as possible because most people want to see it and feel it and touch it.
Absolutely.
Let's have a look.
So this is a laptop running AX 2009.
Let me get in position here.
And here we have
This is AX 2009.
Yep.
Okay, and we're looking at the object tree here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So first I'll bring up the dialog where I configure version control. So here we can see it's enabled on my box. There's an enable-disable setting. And I can select which backend I want. We have Source Depot, which is internal on Microsoft, Visual SourceSafe, as we add in AX4, Morphix VCS, new in 5, and Team Foundation Server, also new in 5 or AX2009.
Okay.
So let's pick Morphix VCS. This is basically all you need to set up version control in AX2009 for Morphix VCS.
So that's it? You're done?
That's it. Now it means...
So what does that do?
It adds some new commands to my context menu. Let's start by creating a new form, right? I'll call it my form. Right. Now when I right-click the form, I have an option saying add to version control.
Right.
Currently, I can modify it in whatever way I like. It's just like a new file on my disk.
Uh-huh.
Once I add it to version control, it's part of the version control system. I can still edit it.
Just tilt the screen so I can get a better view here. Okay.
I can still edit it because I haven't checked it in yet. So we can go in here, take a look at methods, say I would like to add something to... Let's say the init methods. Let's just add a comment. Like this. Now save it. Compiles. And you can see the AOT, the form is now blue. It means it's checked out. I can edit it. When I right click.
So sorry, go, can you go back there? Let me just
sure.
Quite see
I don't
that.
Know if you can see. It's actually blue. Usually everything here is black. But
oh,
those
yeah.
that are under version control, you can edit. They're
okay.
blue.
Okay.
When I right click, I can say check in. Also have undo checkout, and history will get back to those later.
So when you have something checked out, they're blue. Is that the way it is?
Exactly.
Ah, I see. Okay. Okay. So you can actually use any of those forms you can check out, but the ones that are blue are the ones that you already currently have checked out.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I can say here revision one. This is my check-in comment.
So when I have that checked out, what do other people that are working on that project see?
That depends on what backend they're using. If they're using Team Foundation server, they can actually also check it out. So
uh-huh.
they will not know you have checked it out.
Uh-huh.
Right? Then the Team Foundation server will automatically merge for
right.
them.
Right.
More fixed VCS doesn't support that, so they'll get an error if they try to check it out.
So they'll get an error or they'll be refused?
They'll be refused and given a warning saying you can't do this.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So now we're checking in, so I can write whatever description of the change I did.
Okay.
Oh, I see. So you're just telling it what I did.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what files to include, this was my form is the only one I have checked out.
Right.
And then I can click OK, and in it goes. Now it says my form has been checked in.
Okay.
Now when I go back here, I'm not sure if you can see it, but it's actually read-only. I cannot type anything in. It's because it's checked in. It
uh-huh.
goes back to a read-only state. Then I can go back and say...
And now it's black again. So
it's black again, yeah. And I can say check out. We also have all the options in the menu, so I can say check out.
Oh, I see, sure.
And I can also do that from the editor.
So you're not using the ribbon there yet?
No, we're not using the ribbon. We still have
yeah.
that regular toolbar.
Yeah.
So I can
yeah.
say check out. Once I do, it says it's checked out. And now I can edit again here. So I can say comment 2.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just check... Oops. Let's just hit... Now it's blue again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now I can say check in. Here again, revision 2. And we have a small resolution, so I just need to get
yeah,
to the OK button.
It's easier when you're filming to see it at 1024. Most
so
developers
now,
have it at 10,000 by 2,000, not 1024.
Yeah. So now we have
one screen.
And more than one screen, exactly.
Now we have two versions. I can right-click, say history. And now I can see
oh, yeah.
both of the versions I have.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
That's pretty sweet. And what's
right from within Morphix, you're getting
right
all of
from
that.
Within Morphix.
So, yeah.
If I select two, I can compare them. Just see how that works.
Oops, hold on. Okay.
Click compare, and
yep.
it gives me the comparison dialog where I have the two versions.
Okay.
When I click compare, it will highlight.
So if there had been three, would you have been able to choose which ones you compared?
I
oh,
choose
I see
them
you have
in the history down. Form.
You have the drop
right.
down.
And I also have drop down here.
Right.
Here I can see the change line per line, and it's only the digit here that's different.
So how does that work? So hang on, let's see. So, oh, I see. So comment 2 is in red, and the red is version 2, and comment 1 is in blue. So the only difference in the two is that the 1 and the 2,
yeah.
and it tells you which one that is. That's pretty sweet.
Exactly. Yeah. So I can also say, well, I would actually like to go back to revision 1. I want to drop the changes in number 2, and I just click get up here, and now it will import version 1 of my form, and if I go back and look at the code, you'll see it's back to version.
So did it actually drop version 2, or did it add version 1 as a revision 3?
We still have version 1 and 2 in the database, but it was like synced to a not latest version. So I synced an older version. I can get number 2 back if I like.
So if we went back to history, what would we see there?
We'll still see both versions. We still have both. And I can say number 2, give me
but
that
number
one back.
2 is not the one that is current. So how do you know which one's current right now?
You don't really.
I see. Okay.
And that's not supported by Morphix VCS. It would be by TFS.
I see. Got it. Okay, that makes
so
sense.
So for TFS and SourceSafe, we'll basically go to the back end and ask for this list
uh-huh.
and just show it here.
Okay.
And just get number 2 back. And
So now it got both of them. So what did it do there?
So no, it only got this one. It's the old message. This one
I
is
see, okay.
10 minutes old or something.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So basically that's how it works.
That's pretty straightforward. So there's number of different, what are the words you use, providers? Is that what do you call the different version controls that you support?
Internally, we call them backends, but...
Different products.
And if you
have your own favorite product from another vendor that has an API...
So for most developers on a Microsoft product, they're going to be using either VSS or TFS. Now, you added this other one, which
is
a Morphix. What did you call it? Morphix VCS. So maybe you can help me understand or help developers understand when would they choose one over another, and why would we have the Morphix VCS?
Morphix VCS is, first of all, it's free. It just comes with AS.
Sure. So
the
pricing.
The other one's a product you buy from either Microsoft or some other vendor.
So you guys competing with Visual Studio on price? Is that what you're doing?
Say that.
Oh, and the answer is no. The answer is no. So where would you use? Where would you use Morphix?
We have a backlog of all the ERP systems.
I hear it. Don't say that.
That is true.
Yeah.
We are seeing that what we've introduced in 4 and again more in 5 with TFS and VSS is it's very good for ISVs, for vendors that has like sales off the shelf. So they produce one product,
right,
and they have versions of that, and they sell that.
So TFS is more for an
TFS
ISV?
TFS and VSS.
And VSS,
so that's the kind of versions. What we hear and what we heard is was this is the bars that are selling like one-off products, and they have their product, and they make a customized version for you and a customized version for Michael. So they have like 60 or 100 installations on the same box.
All of them current?
All of them current. So if they had to have the repository of all this is exported into HBO files, it would just be a mess. So they're
and
just
hard
having
to maintain.
An AOS. Yes, hard to maintain.
Right.
So they don't want to go there at all.
Right.
What we have produced here is the ability, as they've had in past versions as well, they're working off of the same AOS, the same repository, if you like, meaning that if I do some changes that might corrupt something, get hurt right away. For the other ones, we separated these. This is the nature of version control. You're located locally, do your changes, do your edits, and once you're ready, you have the good stuff, you check it in to the source control backend.
So if I understand this correctly, then Morphix VCS is primarily for VARs, or what I would refer to as a VAR.
That's how I see it.
Right.
So you get the information, as Michael said, that if you work on this, and we have that very small scale in H3 and before, a little lock you could put on, but you could take it off again.
Uh-huh.
So now you can get notified that somebody else is working on it.
Right.
But you can also unlock it.
Right.
But what may be more important is you'll have this history that Michael showed.
Right.
So you can say, okay, now I have this convergence version of my project. I can get back to that later on. And you can go in and use the tools that we actually extended for 2009 with the compare and see all the stuff that was changed from, you know, the version that you shipped and the demo you made.
So that's pretty cool. So... So I think I get it. I think Morphix VCS is primarily for smaller organizations or organizations that have maybe smaller teams that are not building one monolithic product maybe and don't need all of the functionality of TFS. TFS has more than just version control, obviously, and so TFS would give you a lot more. So is it any different when I'm using Morphix VCS versus TFS?
It is, like we already touched upon, then the multiple checkout, two people working on the same.
But in terms of a user experience, or a developer experience, I guess, is a better way to phrase it. It's fairly simple, same set of menus.
It's almost the same.
Right.
TFS supports a bit more functionality, like change list support,
which
you don't have in Morphix.
Right.
So you can see what else was checked in with my change.
Right. Okay. Well, this is pretty cool. Anything else you guys wanted to add?
I mean, version control is just like one leg of our engineering excellence kind of products, right? So we also have unit testing, and we have some best practice checks, which is static code analysis. And all that's also integrated into the version control system. So when you check in, you can set up which quality bar you have for your code. So you can say it must not have any best practice errors, and these unit tests must pass before you're actually allowed to check in.
So how do you define those policies then?
We have some configuration menus, you want?
Yeah, let's have a look. Sure.
Yeah. So if we go to the main menu here and say tools, development tools,
these
control.
Are running regardless of the backend. So this means our app developers are running the exact same. So it's just a matter of the setup that Michael is showing now, which
policies, if you like, that are applied.
So this would be like the development manager would be setting, or your QA manager would be forcing this policy.
He would set these up, right? Here he can specify the name of his project, which is just what's being shown down here in the status bar. So if you have a lot of different installations, then you know what you're actually working on now.
Sure.
You can specify the team server settings. These are the ID server settings, so you connect to a server that gives you the IDs.
Mm-hmm.
And here you have all the quality things you can set up. So do you accept check-ins with compiler warnings or not?
Mm.
Compiler errors, you shouldn't accept those, so let's set that to reject. Compiler to-dos, yes or no. In the start of a project, you may want to accept them. Later on, you won't.
Mm.
Best practice errors, yes or no.
So can you have different profiles that I would set up? And
no, it will run all best practice rules.
I see.
So you cannot change that.
Okay.
You can set up which test project you want to run. A test project is like a suite of unit tests. So
mm-hmm.
it will run all these, and they have to pass before
mm-hmm.
you're allowed to check in.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, there's this small tool which will just beautify your source code by changing the title case of variable names and type names and stuff like that. So the code looks uniform when it's being checked in.
Uh-huh. For documentation purposes.
Both for documentation, but also for the cleanness of the code, so when you're reading it and writing it.
It's a lot easier. Yeah. Okay. And there's another page there. What is the...
That's some object rules. So when you check something in that it has a name, that makes sense. So you're not allowed to check in form 1 or class 1.
You can set up that we don't accept that.
Yeah, no temp variables called temp.
Perhaps you don't allow private projects or jobs or something like that. So you can rule out different concept types if you don't want developers to create those.
So this is there security around this? So obviously the developer themselves wouldn't be able to overwrite these, right?
That's true. This is actually a file that's in the version control system.
Mm-hmm.
So the admin can log it in TFS and no one can change it.
Right, right. And then, so again, your QA manager or your dev manager would be setting these policies.
Exactly.
And then developers would not be able to check in if these policies were hit?
Correct.
That's pretty cool.
It is.
And is there... I think we talked about this earlier before we get on video. There's no build integration right now, right?
That's true.
Okay. All right.
If you're using Morphix VCS, you won't need a build integration at all because you're working in the shared environment,
so it's
the same file.
Or bug tracking information is still not integrated.
Not in at all.
Okay.
No.
Okay, so that's AX6, right? Don't commit.
Your
manager your might
breath.
See this. Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, well, this is pretty cool.
One thing that you asked the other day was, do we use this ourselves?
I wasn't sure if you guys wanted to talk about that. So
I'm not supposed to. just kidding. I just want to mention that, yes, we're using this integration ourselves with Source Depot, which is an internal Microsoft tool.
Right.
We will eventually move to TFS. We have not done it yet, and we don't know when, but we will. TFS version control is built upon the Source Depot code that we use today, and it's the same team doing it, so it's not like something completely different.
Now, I know the Visual Studio team has already started moving over to TFS.
Yes. And for bug tracking, we use another tool as well, but for
some of
the bugs, everything is work items in TFS.
Right.
So we're tracking all our features, dependencies, stuff like that already, and it's very useful and nice integration to project, nice integration to Excel and so forth. So we'll eventually go there, no doubt about that.
Okay,
so
great.
That's kind of the state right now.
So that's pretty good. So you're dog fooding in a sense.
I'm pushing to the team that we will be able to pull the plug once management says now we're going to do it.
Wow. That's great.
Because that will also enforce it to be good enough so that what we ship is good.
So when I bump into Hal in the corridors here at the conference, I should tell him.
Please
pull
ask
the
him
plug.
When we do that, because that will be super cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It. That's
excellent.
Even better.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Morten and Michael. Thank you so much for showing me this cool stuff. And hopefully we'll get to do another one. I know we want to do one on AX architecture, so maybe next time I'm in Copenhagen, I'll need to find an excuse to come over here.
Now you have one.
Now I have one, yeah. I'll come over just to the architecture Channel 9 video. All right. Thanks a bunch, guys.
Thanks.